We're continuing a series of sermons on the most famous verses of Scripture. And I've had a couple of requests, and I'll get to those in due time. If you have a favorite you'd like for us to include in this series, please let us know. Be glad to do that. Today I want to speak to you on the power of positive thinking. The power of positive thinking. The human brain or the human mind is still the most powerful computer in existence. You might recall in recent years, IBM, working with Jeopardy, created their supercomputer to be a Jeopardy contestant. They named it Watson, and it's sure enough a high-power computer being used in all different kind of fields now in the medical arena and different kind of things. And Watson was pretty successful at defeating the human participants in the show, in the contest. And so there was a lot of discussion at that point that the computer technology today was already more powerful than the human mind. I would tell you nothing could be further from the truth. Consider that Watson, the supercomputer, didn't have to worry about standing on his own two feet and maintaining his balance. He didn't have to worry about moving a hand and arm to push the button when he had the answer. He didn't have to at the same time make sure his lungs were breathing and his heart was beating. He was just doing a very small portion of what the human brain does. The human brain is powerful beyond our ability to comprehend. Think about it. Everything you've ever seen, heard, or experienced is stored away in your brain right now. I'll be the first to tell you, you can't retrieve it all when you want to. And the older you get, the less able you are to retrieve it all when you want to. I'm amazed. I'll wake up sometime in the middle of the night, Mickey, and I've been trying to think of somebody's last name, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll know it's Williams. Well, I don't need to know at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now I'm trying to say, why in the world does my brain work that way? But it's a powerful repository of information. And yet, confusion exists as to the mind's ability to change our circumstances. I would tell you that there are those who would say, if you can think it, you can bring it to pass. Well, I would tell you that you can think you're rich until you're blue in the face and still be poor. We really can't change our circumstances beyond the mind's capacity to change us. Well, hey, as our thinking changes us, that many times changes our perspective on our circumstances. And that really is what we're after anyway as Christians, to be able to see things as God sees them. And when we do from His perspective, we always have victory in Jesus Christ, which is our intended purpose. But we should never underestimate the power of positive thinking in our minds, for it is huge. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says this, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Now, I realize that passage is written about someone who is very greedy, but I believe it works to the positive as surely as to the negative. We pretty much become what we think and think about. Well, if that's true, we ought to be very, very careful about our thought process, because we very likely are becoming what we are thinking. Well, Paul addressed this issue in another very famous verse of Scripture that we will look at today. As we consider his teaching, my prayer is that each of us would examine our own thought processes, and if we are not through the power of positive thinking, unleashing all the power of God in our lives, might that change in us today? I want to read in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, that's in the New Testament, just before Colossians, just after Ephesians and Galatians. The book of Philippians, I'm in the fourth chapter. I'll read verse 8, and I'd ask you to stand, if you are able to do so, to honor the public reading of God's precious word. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say, oh me. All right, I'll wait a minute. Philippians 4:8, New King James reads like this, "Finally, brethren," he's speaking to the church, "whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Please be seated, and as you do, bow with me in prayer. Father, Thank you for the power of positive thinking. Thank you that you gave us such incredible capacity in the human mind. And thank you that it can be used for a greater good than we can even fully imagine. And yet, Lord God, forgive us where in so many cases we allow our minds to be used for evil. We allow them to be used for the negative. We allow them to produce defeat, not only in our own lives, but the lives of others that we influence. And Father God, we know that that breaks the heart of God and displeases you and draws us from your intended purpose. Lord, help us to understand the power we possess and our responsibility to maintain a positive perspective in our thought life. Lord God, would you preach through me now and set me free of every distraction, every hindrance, every obstacle I present to your truth. Would you silence me, dear Lord, that you might be heard? And would you hide me, O Father, that you might be seen? And I do pray that the forces of darkness and evil that hate us because we're yours might be bound from this place and bound from this property and bound from these your people, that we might have perfect liberty to receive your word. Let it work its perfect work and change us forever for the glory of God. And Lord, I pray for each one here that we would have open hearts and minds. Remove the clutter and help us to focus intently upon you that we might indeed be pleasing in your sight and all that we say and do. For all you accomplish in the time we have together, we'll give you all praise and thanks, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please keep in mind as you read this verse and this little book that Paul is writing from a Roman jail cell. He is Nero's prisoner, though he has done nothing wrong. He is guilty of no crime, and yet he's not embittered by his circumstances. He chooses to make the most of his time there. So rather than wringing his hands, as most of us would do, he's writing God-inspired letters that have positively impacted the saints of God down through the ages. Untold millions of lives have been touched by Paul's prison epistles. Now, I'm not implying to you that a positive perspective there was automatic in Paul's life. To the contrary, I think Paul was just as human as you and I, and I think he struggled with a great many things. I am certain that he craved freedom, and I believe he deeply desired justice, but he was so submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the will of the Father God in heaven that he could trust God's perfect plan even in the confines of that prison cell. And yet we must understand that controlling our thought life, as Paul did, is our only hope of victory in this life. Now that requires great diligence. It's not something that you can do haphazardly because we are at war. We are continually being bombarded by the forces of darkness, and they are very, very good at what they do. Satan and his minions continually bombard our minds with negative, defeatist, sinful thoughts. We think in terms of past failures. We think in terms of our personal injustices. We think in terms of the hopeless situations that we face, and we quickly become overwhelmed. The devil is often able to steal our joy by creating doubts and fears as to what the future might hold. But the question of the matter is, we can have victory over each of those if we will follow God's instruction. Well, preacher, why in the world does the devil fight so hard against us if he knows we're already saved? And guess what? He does. You might have uncertainties about your walk with God, and he might create doubts within you, but spirit beings recognize spirit beings. The devil is a spirit being. He knows every single child of God. He knows who is saved and who's not saved, and he works overtime to try to trip up God's people. Why? Because he knows if he can control the mind, he can control the man or woman. It is a battle for our minds because He's concerned not about our eternal destiny. He knows we are lost forever as far as He's concerned because we've been purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and adopted into His family. But He's now trying to diminish any influence we have over other people. He can't keep us from going to heaven, but He can keep us from taking folks with us to heaven if He can cause us to have a negative, defeated attitude. Well, the good news is that Paul, through the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, came up with a foolproof technique that if we will apply to our lives, will ensure victory in every circumstance. By following this simple plan, we simply cannot be defeated and will unleash the power of God in our lives continually. And the first point He points out to us here is that we must renew our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word there to renew is renovate, to make over. So in the moment of salvation, God makes us over from stem to stern. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have new capacity for thought. You have new life. You have never-ending life. And you have victory over everything that's held you back previously. However, God doesn't erase our memory. I'm sure many of you have thought about that and say, God, I wish you would. I wish you could just get those thoughts out of my mind. God leaves our memory intact for our benefit so that we can learn from past mistakes. We don't have to repeat them again after we've been saved because we still have the memory of the hurt and disillusionment and disappointment of our past failure. But through our memory, we can easily be manipulated by the forces of darkness if we aren't careful. How many of us, don't raise your hands please, how many of us would have to confess that many times the devil is able to make us to think back to the good old days. Think back to all the friends that we used to enjoy that have nothing to do with us anymore because now we're old fuddy-duddies, don't have any fun. We're sticks in the mud. We're Jesus freaks, religious riots, and they don't want anything to do with us. And so now we find ourselves having to develop a whole new set of friends. So he tempts us to go back to that old way of life. And the temptation is far greater than it ought to be because human nature is pretty predictable. As time goes by, we tend to forget the negative and embellish the positive. We forget the hangovers. We forget the headaches. We forget the heartaches. We forget the hopelessness that we sense in our spirit as lost men and women striving to find peace in this wicked world and never able to do so. Well, then, preacher, how in the world can we resist these temptations? I'm glad you asked. We need to renew our minds by spending time with God. Well, preacher, how do you do that? Great question. Spend time in His Word. You know, God will speak to you in His Word. I wish I could challenge every single one of them. Can I recognize in a conservative Christian, fundamental, evangelical Baptist church like this, the majority of folks probably don't open your Bible between Sundays. If you just take 5 minutes, first thing in the morning, and just say, I'm going to read one chapter from the Bible before I do anything else, before I go to work, before I embrace the challenges today, I'm just going to read one chapter, and I'm going to read that chapter in a prayerful spirit, asking God to speak to me through His Word. You'll be amazed at what you'll come to understand and know about God's plan and purpose for your life. But we've got to renew our minds. How else can I do it, preacher? In times of prayer. We've got to spend quality time alone with God. And I would tell you, quality time is hard to come by these days. There are so many distractions. I share often with folks that ask, now I've graduated, I've got a smartphone, and it is absolutely is the hugest hit on my productivity of anything I've ever encountered in my life. People with ADD shouldn't have smartphones.
We should probably have 10 cans with string. Because all those little gadgets all the time, lights going off and vibrations and this little sound, that little sound, and my brain all of a sudden says, I wonder who that is. I wonder what's going on. I better check and see. Well, I check and see, then I see, oh, Facebook is on there. And oh, by the way, I can check on the sports and the ball game today. And while I'm at it, I might as well go ahead and see what's for sale in the classified section. And oh, by the way, I'm about to check the front page of the Augusta Chronicle. And before now, I've spent 30 minutes trying to see who was sending me a text that had nothing to do with anything except, hey, how do you like this new birthday card I just got? I mean, it's unbelievable what we waste time on. And I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm not throwing stones. But the truth of the matter is we get distracted so very easily, and the devil can distract us so very easily. We've got to saturate our minds and make quality time for prayer. Put the cell phone aside. Turn the TV off. Put your best-selling novel down. Don't get involved with the newspaper. Get into your prayer closet, wherever you got to go, take a ride in your car, whatever, and spend some quality time with God to renew your mind. And we renew our mind by spending time with God's people, enjoying fellowship with fellow believers, being encouraged, sharing our struggles, and being encouragers to them as they share their struggles with us. But those are the kind of things that we need to practice so that we can renew our mind and have victory in Jesus Christ. And it's a tragedy that so precious few of God's people do that. We're just too busy. But that explains why the church today is so powerless and so anemic. We often are approaching our spiritual, God-given mission with carnal minds. And hear me when I say, we will never accomplish God's spiritual purpose with a carnal mind. We've got to set our minds on things above, not things below, and that's a proactive effort on our part. We've got to renew our mind continually to make sure we are offsetting the negative influences of this world. So first and foremost, we've got to renew our mind. Secondly, we've got to redirect our meditations. Redirect our meditations. Think about that. I'm afraid meditation is probably a thing of the past as well. I'm afraid most of us don't spend a lot of time meditating on anything. There are just too many demands made of us. Too many places to be. Too many people to please. Too many objectives to obtain. And so we just don't have time to be still and ponder the deep truths of the meaning of life and God's plan and purpose for us. But I would tell you, it's one thing to know the Scripture. It's another altogether to have pondered and meditated upon that Scripture and understand how it applies to our daily lives and then put that into practice. Do you know that just knowing the Bible isn't going to do you one bit of good? The devil knows the Bible better than you and I will ever know the Bible. He knows it so well because he uses it as a tool against us, because he knows it better. He can take portions of truth, Sean, and manipulate that truth and deceive a great many of God's people. And I would tell you that there are huge churches and ministries that are led by pastors that are doing just that, taking small parts of Scripture and misleading God's people because God's people are so ignorant as to the precious Word of God. But I would tell you that many of us are equally guilty of the devil. We know Scriptures. We memorize them as a child, perhaps, or we might even read our Bible, but we don't take time to meditate and ponder and allow them practical application in our lives. And I would tell you, until we do, the Word will be powerless to us. The fact is, we've got to meditate on it. We've got to ponder it. We've got to let it soak into our soul. We've got to allow it to permeate our being, for only then may it accomplish God's intended purpose. Only then may we develop the sensitivity to always hear the still small voice of God. Only then may we gain the victory over the negativity that so fills our world today. Think about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to make it obedient to Christ. You and I must have a conscious awareness of our thought life. We've got to be sensitive to what we are allowing to take place in our mind. It's not enough, however, to recognize a bad thought and say, "Get away from me, bad thought." The mind or the brain is like a vacuum. And when one thing is pulled out, it sucks something else right back in. It is virtually impossible to put your brain in neutral and think of nothing. "Well, preacher, I'm not so sure about that. I think I can. I'm pretty sure my husband can," many of you wives would say. Well, let me just give you an object lesson. And let's take just a moment. Everybody just take a deep breath. Close your eyes. And can you for 60 seconds think of nothing? The vast majority of us didn't make it 1 second. The first thought that came to your mind is, "What's wrong with this preacher? What is he trying to get me to do? I'm not closing my eyes. All these people around here? Someone might steal my purse. Someone might take my cell phone. I might miss a cell phone call. I wonder where he's going with this. Is this tied to some Bible verse? I wonder what Bible verse that would be." And our brains just go into overdrive. You know, that's why TV is so popular. TV is a hiding place. You can turn on a TV show and just put your brain in neutral, and all you're thinking about is this mindless chatter on this box. And it lets us, we think, rest our minds. I would tell you, you're not resting your mind. You're reloading your mind with lots of stuff it doesn't need to be reloaded with. But it is virtually impossible for us to have our minds in neutral. We simply cannot do it. It immediately fills itself with new things to think about that. Well, hey, keep that in mind when you're addressing those self-serving, sinful thoughts that the devil places there that you understand are going to lead you to no good. You can't just throw them away. You have to replace them with something else. That's why Paul provides us a list here in verse 8. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's a good report. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. The word true implies to us things that are related to the truth of Almighty God. He is the source of all truth. Noble is that which is honorable or ethical or decent. Right is that which is upright or righteous. To be pure is to be blameless and chaste and innocent. That which is lovely is that which is pleasing both to man and God. That which is acceptable, of good report, which is commendable. That which is praiseworthy or admirable. The excellent is that which is superior or eminently good. And praiseworthy is also to be commended, both of man and of God. Now think about that list and compare that list to the things that we allow to feed our minds every day. Think about all the stuff that we allow our minds to be bombarded with, like the television, like the radio, like the internet, like the latest magazines, most of which are filled with garbage. Stuff that is unhealthy and unwholesome and certainly unholy. I have just been amazed, Brian, over the last week or so, people that post on Facebook how offended they are at the content of the movie 50 Shades of Grey. It really is pornographic. And it should have been advertised, as such people say. And I'm thinking to myself, for heaven's sakes, couldn't you tell that from looking at the trailer? The advertisement thing said it was nothing but pure smut. So why in the world would a child of God subject him or herself to that kind of thing and then question what those movie producers are doing? You know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to corrupt your thinking. So you've got to be very, very careful about what you allow to come into your mind. How about the latest juicy gossip? Man, we just feed on that stuff. There's something that boosts our ego when we know all the latest and greatest about what's going on in everybody else's life. But you understand that most of what you hear is untrue, and most of what you hear is unwholesome in terms of it edifying you or the body of Christ. Think about the water cooler banter at work. The latest dirty joke that all the guys and gals have heard and want to tell you. It's unhealthy. It's unwholesome. It's not something we ought to participate in. Please hear me when I say the law of the harvest works in our thought life as well. If we think trashy thoughts, we're going to become trashy things. Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God's not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, so shall he also reap. But preacher, it's hard to avoid. And you're right. It's virtually impossible to avoid because we live in a world that's controlled by the forces of darkness, at least for the time being. And that's not going to change until Jesus comes back and establishes his kingdom here on this earth. But we can minimize the negative influences of this world by guarding our minds. I've mentioned it before, a powerful little nursery rhyme song that most of us probably taught our children, and we teach them, I think, now in Sunday school, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down below. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. How about be careful, little minds, what you think? You know, a whole lot of what you think is not true. Don't you believe everything your brain tells you? It's reading a whole lot of stuff into all that garbage that's been fed. And hey, if you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. You better be careful and even hold your mind accountable to the Word of God. I've shared with you before, and I love her to pieces. I wouldn't do a thing in the world to embarrass her. She's in heaven today, and I suspect she'll find out about this and hold it against me when I get to heaven. But my mom used to say to me, her favorite Bible verse was, "God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform." I said, "Mama, what book is that in?" "Oh, I'm not certain." "Well, let's find it in the Bible." "Well, I don't know exactly where to look, and I'm busy right now." And I've looked and looked and looked and looked and looked. I've been through all kinds of concordances and all different translations. It's not a verse in the Bible, but it is to her. You see, you got to be careful. It's true, and it's worthwhile to remember and apply to our daily lives, but it's not Scripture. We can't say, "God said, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders perform," because then we destroy our credibility. People say they're lying about other things too. You got to make sure that what you're believing is true and of God. We've got to be careful about what we allow to affect our minds. And because we must be so careful about what our eyes see, ears hear, minds think, there's stuff we can't watch on TV. There's places we can't go. There's crowds we can't run with. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher. Now I'm telling you, I've got liberty in Jesus Christ." Paul addressed that issue. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial or profitable." Now, why would a Christian knowingly participate in that which is unprofitable? If you want to be unprofitable, play the stock market for heaven's sakes. We've got to understand we have a responsibility to God and to those around us to let our lives be examples that they can follow to Jesus Christ. That means some things that, yes, we can do, legally speaking, we can do them. We've got to say no to because we want to protect and preserve and enhance the influence God's given us over this wicked world. But simply avoiding those things isn't enough. That just makes you a legalist. We've got to avoid those things and then replace them with positive things. Whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good report, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy. And as we continually feed those things to our mind, the mind is renewed. And then we meditate and ponder those things, and they become our way of living. The practical application affects us dramatically so that we are beginning to be living testimonies of the power of Almighty God. But I would tell you, until we recognize the power of the mind and of positive thinking, not negative thinking, we're going to continue to be frustrated as Christians. Because God desires so much more for us. God equipped us for so much more than the mediocrity that most of us live in each day. And until we experience the superabounding victorious life that Jesus died to give us, we aren't going to have the influence in this world God desires for us to have. And we aren't going to reach the lost to the degree that God desires for us to. And we aren't going to be rewarded and blessed to the degree that God desires to reward and bless us. It requires that we understand the power of positive thinking and make that our priority. Well, preacher, that's not going to be easy to do. You're right. You're right. But it's possible to do in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and so can you. But it's up to us. It's an act of our will, being proactive, renewing our mind continually, pondering, meditating on God's truths, allowing them to shape who we are, how we think, where we go, what we do, so that we become more and more conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, I've got some real negative realities in my life. What am I going to do about that? You can face those negative realities positively. Think about that. That's exactly what Paul's doing. I've never been in jail, praise the Lord. I can't imagine being in jail with a positive attitude, but he was. Think about it. Why? Because he saw the big picture. He's trusted to a holy God that he believes is in complete control. And God uses every circumstance we encounter if we'll allow him to. So such is the case with Paul. He didn't want to be there. He wanted to be free. He desired justice like all the rest of us. And yet he said, God, because I know you are God, and you can set me free at any moment. You haven't. So you have a plan for me, so I'm going to make the most of this time and be able to rejoice in it by accomplishing my God-given mission through the power of positive thinking. Well, I don't know what your circumstance might be and how negative it might be. It really does not matter, but I will tell you, God has a perspective on that circumstance. God has a perspective on your situation, and God is using it for our good and His glory if we'll but trust Him. And trust is a choice. Making a conscious decision to say, God knows best, and I don't. While I don't understand what I'm going through now, and I sure hope it's temporary, I'm going to so trust in God as allow Him to use it for good in my life and the lives of other people. And that's how we maintain a positive perspective on our negative reality. So what's your reality today? Probably not very positive in and of itself. All God's children got troubles. Every single one of us are struggling in some area of our life and will be till Jesus comes back. Life's hard, but God's good. He's faithful, and He has met our every need in Jesus Christ. Do we trust Him enough to allow our lives to be renewed through His precious Word, enough to spend time, quality time with God in His Word, meditating on it, pondering it, spending time in prayer with Him that we can become all that He intends? Because if not, we're going to be frustrated all our lives. But if we're willing to release the power of positive thinking, we can indeed be all that God intends and be a great blessing to Him as He so richly blesses us. But that's what it's going to take. How will you choose? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your precious word and for Paul and the other great examples that we see in your word of men and women who are able to face adversity with confidence, knowing that you are God and that you have met our every need in Jesus Christ and we can trust you. Father, I pray that you'd forgive us of our negative thinking, our defeated attitudes, our willingness to surrender so often, and help us to understand that Jesus died that we might be more than conquerors. And that means victorious in every situation, and we can as we allow our minds to be renewed through your precious word, through prayer, through fellowship with other believers, and then meditate upon that truth that it might affect our daily behavior, that we might become effective witnesses for you. Father, I pray that that would be the testimony of each of us. And if it's not the case, I pray that we would change our thinking today. Lord, I pray for one of the days not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray that something had been said or done, that this is the day of their salvation. That they would come and take this preacher by the hand and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." And I pray, Lord, that even the forces of darkness himself could not distract or limit in that way. But I pray that your perfect will might be done in this decision time, so we might all leave from here more like Jesus Christ than when we came here. For all that you do, we'll give you praise and thanks, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please.